Church, last night, I'm going to do something today I don't normally do, and I'm going to show you my working. Because last night I was thinking, God, what do you want me to preach on? And so I did what any good preacher would do, and I sat down and I opened the Bible, and I let it speak to me. And for those of us who've been following along with the Read Scripture, you know that we've been in Jeremiah recently. And I opened up and I read this Jeremiah's Temple Sermon, chapter 7. And I let the Word of God speak to me, and I thought, this is the Word of God for the church today. And so if you want to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7, we're going to read the whole chapter. Now, where you're turning there, for those of you who weren't here last week, we spoke on purity again in terms of our finances and about how it's always a heart issue, not a dollars and cents issue with our finances. And how God wants us to move our heart, where our treasure is, there our heart will be. And so He wants us to move our treasure to what He's doing so that our hearts will be there also. And it's a matter of giving and receiving. Everything in life is a matter of giving and receiving. And so if we give in to what He's doing in the earth, then we receive what He's doing in our own hearts. So let's read from verse 1. It says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear me. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, and come through these gates, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in the deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, this is the temple of the Lord, this is the temple of the Lord.' But if you really change your ways and your actions and you deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless or the widow, if you do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place and in the land I give your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known? And then come and stand before me in my house, which bears my name, and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things.' Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers for you? But I've been watching, declares the Lord. Go now into the place of Shiloh, where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you didn't listen. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to my house that bears my name, the temple you trust in, the place I gave you and your ancestors. I will thrust you from my presence just as I did all your fellow Israelites and the people of Ephraim. So do not pray for these people. Don't offer a plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers light the fire. The women knead the dough and they make cakes and offer them to the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to arouse my anger. But am I the one they are provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field, on the crops of your land, and it will burn and not be quenched. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, go ahead, add your burnt offerings, offer sacrifices and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command. Obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in obedience and I will command you and it will go well with you. but they didn't listen. They didn't pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts, and they went backwards and not forwards. From the time your ancestors had left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets, and they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked, and they did more evil than their ancestors. When you tell them this, they will not listen to you. And when you call them, they will not answer. Therefore, say to them, this is a nation that has not obeyed the Lord God or responded to correction. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips. So cut off your hair and throw it away. Take up a lament on the barren heights, for the Lord has rejected and abandoned this generation under his wrath. The people of Judah have done evil in my eyes, declared the Lord, and they have set their detestable idols in the house which bears my name, and they have defiled it. They have built up the high places of Topheth and the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it ever even enter my mind. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer call Topheth the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury the dead in Topheth until there is no more room. Then the carcass of these people will become food for the birds and wild animals, and there will be no one to frighten them away. I will bring an end to the sound of joy and gladness, to the voice of the bride and the bridegroom in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, for the land will become desolate. What we know about this scripture is in Jeremiah, where it's placed. Israel were worshipping at the temple, and at the same time they forsook their covenant and they're worshipping other gods as well. And Jeremiah warned them, don't do this because it's going to end in your exile to Babylon. And so if I could just summarize this in a way. He says this, that God addresses Israel through Jeremiah. He says, reform your ways and I'll let you live in this promise. Don't trust in the fact that you're called my people. Turn from your injustice and idolatry, and I'll be merciful. I have seen you as you have defiled my house, mixing idolatry with your worship of God, and you think you're safe, but you're not. And just like your ancestors, you've rejected me, and now I'll remove my presence from you. I won't listen to your petitions for mercy while you're in active rebellion. You are openly committing idolatry, and it's killing you. Nothing can flourish while you're out of my presence. Only hardship you'll find. I commanded your ancestors, walk with me and it'll go well with you. Obey me and I'll be your God. But you haven't listened. Despite the fact that I've tried to get your attention again and again, you're more stubborn than your ancestors, and even now you're still not listening. It's gotten so bad that you don't even know what truth is anymore. Weep bitterly because I've given you over to your idols. You've trusted in them and I'm allowing you to see what they're worth. You've done evil and defiled my house, and now you're going to reap what you've sown. And so this sounds like a harsh message today, but it's actually not. It's a message of hope, because that story is not our story. See, in the pursuit of purity, it's the pursuit of ridding our life of idols. Because idols can't coexist with God in our lives. God is jealous when it comes to his people and sharing worship. But he promises us that if we walk with him, it'll go well for us. He will be our God. But idols will lead us to death. And he'll chase us for a time, but if necessary, he'll honor the choices for our own good. Now we know the rest of the story for Jeremiah. He prophesies in vain because no one listens to him. And Israel ends up being captured by Babylon and they're forced into slavery. So what's the application of this message today? Is that Babylon isn't a real place for us anymore, and there's no Nebuchadnezzar coming for us in any tangible sense, but our Babylon is just as real as Israel's, and our idols still leave us to slavery. So we don't have incense sticks in the church that we burn to Baal, and we don't make cakes to give to Asherah, the Queen of Heaven. But an idol is anything that takes the place of God in our lives. How it's interesting that Baal is the fertility god of the Canaanite people, and it was believed that He was able to enable the earth to produce crops and people to produce children. So in essence, what they were doing when they were burning incense to him in the temple, they were trusting in Baal for their provision. They were trusting in an idol for their provision, which is not so dissimilar from what we talked about last week. And that we don't have a Baal to call our master, we have a card that we call our master, and conveniently it's written right on the card, MasterCard. It's instant gratification that comes with instant slavery, because once a month Nebuchadnezzar's coming to collect an interest payment. And God tells us, if you want to be free from the snares of this life, where your finances are concerned, then live off less than you earn. Biblical wisdom. Give some away, set some aside, keep some for when I tell you to be ready to bless someone, and decide what you live off that left. And when you do that, when you live like this, you will inherit the earth. You won't have masters, and you can, when I tell you to do something, you're available. But then MasterCard tells you, that's all well and good, but you can get this TV and you can get it today. Go treat yourself. And you say, well, then he goes, treat yourself. I demand it. And you say, yes, sir. And then Jesus comes along and says, hey, I have the opportunity of a lifetime for you. This is going to blow your mind. You're never going to be the same. Come on, we've got to go. And you say, yeah, sorry, Jesus. Ned's coming on the 15th of... I better get working, but it was nice to see you. In verse 18 and 19, it says, the children gather the wood and the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough, and they make cakes to offer the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to arouse my anger. But am I the one they're provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? See, for every topic we talk about when it comes to purity and ridding ourselves of idols, it's always the same. Anything we promote above God becomes our master, and it's always harmful to us. See, with gluttony, it robs us of our health and our well-being. In grumbling and complaining, we take what God gave us to pronounce blessings over ourselves and blessings over our family and blessings over others. What we use to praise God and beat back the enemy of our souls, and we use it to pronounce curses over ourselves and others. And it keeps us in a holding pattern of oppression. Unforgiveness, it poisons your soul and it stops you from ever moving forward. It elevates a person to a place where they determine your destiny and your identity rather than God. Whenever we talk about ridding ourselves of idols, God is saying, walk with me and it'll go well with you. Obey me and I'll be your God. I'll look after you. That's all I ever wanted to do. But I'm not going to compete. Verse 12 and 15, it says this, go to the place of Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declared the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, and you didn't listen. I called you, but you didn't answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to the house that bears my name, the temple you trust in, the place I gave to you and your ancestors. I will thrust you from my presence, he says, and just as I did your fellow Israelites, the people of Ephraim. See, what idolatry always does is it removes us from intimacy with God. Because God won't coexist with idols. He'll respect your wishes and he'll let you go with them. So if we choose, he says in verse 16, don't pray for these people. Don't offer any plea or petition for them. Don't plead with me because I won't listen. Because God can't move in our lives when in the areas that we're in open rebellion. He won't bless something that he's told us explicitly not to do. And so the further we move towards rebellion, the further we move from the presence of God. And if that all sounds too theological for you, I want to give you an application. This is what the church looks like when there's no presence of God in it. It's a bunch of broken people who compete for who's right and wrong. It's a bunch of frustrated people pretending that things are okay when they're dying inside. It's a Sunday morning show. it's a job for some and it's a chore for many. It's a place where people come to be served like McDonald's. It's where cadavers dress up like the living and say we're better than the ones down the road. A place filled with information but never transformation. A place where the broken are welcome but only if they conform to be like us immediately. A place of open palms but never outstretched hands. A self-serving bureaucracy that only seeks to make itself bigger. And a dueling match between egos and insecurities, with the weapon of choice being the sword of spirit. Where there is no presence of God, there is no life. And so this morning, that's why I'm praying, God, send us your presence. That's why finances isn't a dollar and cents issue. It's about your presence. Pour out your blessing on us. Open the floodgates of heavens so that there'll be so much blessing that we will not be able to store it. Pour out your presence on us this morning, God. Pour out your presence over our life this morning, Jesus. Pour out your presence on our areas right now. I pray for people's hearts to be opened even right now. I pray that, Father God, you'd move in this place this morning. I pray, Father, that we've so closely guarded our hearts because of hurts we've had, whatever lies that we've believed this morning, I pray, Father, that you break down the walls, you remove the traps, Lord, that you open the heart of people this morning so that they would accept your presence. Father, they would hear your words, that they would hear and they would experience it, and it wouldn't be information for them this morning. It would be a transformative experience right now, Lord, because my words don't cut it. No matter what I could say, no matter how well I prepare, no matter how well I preach, it does not affect anything. If your presence isn't here, Father God, if your presence isn't here, then it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Getting out of bed, having a shower and putting nice clothes on, coming here today was in vain if you don't meet with God. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for your presence in this place right now. I want to pray for your presence in this church to increase and increase. Because where the presence of God is, there is healing, there is deliverance. Where the presence of God is, there is the power to overcome sin and shame and guilt and condemnation. There is the power to forgive and to set free. In the presence of God, we find rest for our souls. In the presence of God is where we have the answers to every question that we've ever had. We find the peace that's missing that we try to fill with stuff and sex and power. We become the answer to the problem that the world has instead of just being a part of the problem. Our relationships get mended, our wounds get healed. We can be vulnerable and we can be open and know that we're safe. We can be transformed all the time. We can find it a joy to serve, and we understand that it's better to give than to receive. And church that exists to connect people to God and build each other up as we worship God. That's what the presence of God is. That's the church I want to be a part of. That's the church I want to be. That's the church I want to be. And I know this much, there are people out there that have no idea about any of this. And they live their lives blindfolded and gagged and they're bashed around, and I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of hearing about family breakdown and of hearing about suicide and depression. Hearing about people, stories of people who can't move forward because they're stuck in the mud. I'm tired of knowing, because I know we have the answer. And it's our inheritance. It's our inheritance. The presence of God is our inheritance. And we can move in the power of God that fixes all these things. And we can have it, and we can have it right now. And when I ask myself, how do we do that? I met with this realization that I am the church. The presence of God dwells within me. And if I want to increase the presence of God within the world and within His church, it has to start with the man in the mirror. And this is true for all of us. And so I'm asking today for everyone who has met with Christ and who started on this journey of following Him, can you take ownership over this? Which list does your life sound like? Church that looks with or without the presence of God, and wouldn't you rather it be the second? We have to allow God to deal with our idols. Verse 3 says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. I'll let you have this promise. And the good news is this, is that God desperately wants us to get this right. Desperately, He wants us to. And His presence is right there for anyone who will accept it. All we have to do is let Him. And yet to do that, it means we have to get vulnerable and allow Him to show us how we really are. And that could be a scary thing. This is why words don't mean anything without the presence of God, because your mind won't tell you what's wrong with you. You can search your mind. You can search your reasons why you do what you do. You can search how you did it. You can justify anything. You can justify anything. And it's such a source of conflict for people, because they just won't. They'll justify everything they do. Your mind doesn't know what's in your heart. And so you've got to open it up and let God in. But your heart is where your victory and your dysfunction lies. See, because if you were to ask a young aspiring minister in Bible college if he or she thinks that it's God's will that they should cheat on their wife or their husband, I guarantee you every single one of them would say, of course it's not. That's the opposite of God's will. And yet you find ministers sometimes have affairs. So you tell me, is the problem in the mind that they know better? Problem's not in the mind. What happened in that person's heart that they didn't see the traps on the way, that they didn't read the circumstances, that in the moment they thought that was the right thing to do. How did they get there? You won't find the answer in your mind. Lord God, I just pray, Father God, right now that as we're in this place today, You'd open hearts. That You'd open people's hearts. Father God, I pray You bypass people's minds. I speak to anything that would distract us today. And I say, be silent. In fact, leave the building. I silence the voice of shame or guilt or condemnation. The voice of worry. In Jesus' name, I say, be silent. This voice of imagination, be quiet. Lord God, would You speak to us this morning? Would You speak to us this morning? Show us, Father God, where the areas in our life are that we don't allow You into. Where have we put our wall up? Heavenly Father, show us. Where we clung to a lie and built an idol. I pray, Father God, for everybody here, I pray You show them just one thing. Show them just one thing that they've believed is a lie and they've responded by building an idol. Show them, Father God, where that all started. What was it that set that into motion, Father God? Show. What lie set up my dysfunction? God, I ask you right now, Father, for whatever it is that you're saying to everyone, the lie that they're focusing on, speak the truth now in Jesus' name. Speak the truth now in Jesus' name. What is the truth? This is what the Lord God Almighty says to Israel: reform your ways and your actions. If the Lord told you a lie that you believe, then what I want you to do is to say out loud that you renounce that lie. Say what the lie is. What is the truth that's there instead? Speak that out. Speak it. Use your mouth and speak it out. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive in the scenario? Who helped plant that lie? That person, whether you realize it or not, stopped you moving forward. That person, whether you like it or not, has taken the place of God in your life, and they've determined your destiny for you. They've determined your identity for long enough in that lie. So the truth about that is that God determines who you are. God determines your destiny. That's the truth. So release them. Put God on the throne and take them off it. And watch the lie lose its power. God, show us where shame and guilt have their hooks in on this thing. Show us where shame and guilt are keeping us from letting it go, Father God. Your word says that by your stripes we're healed, that you took our sin and our sorrow, and our sins are forgiven by what you did on the cross. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, as gentle as you are, in this area of our heart that's sore, that's been sore for a long time, that's infected, I pray, Father, be gentle and go. Take those hooks out. Pray, speak to your sons and daughters. Rid them of shame and rid them of guilt of things they've done. You don't remember them, and so neither should they. If you know that you did something or you responded to something incorrectly, then now would be a good time to confess it to God and just say you're sorry. God, tell them, what do you say is the truth about them? What do you call them? What do you see them as? I pray you bring correction where they've got that wrong. Your presence. I pray for your healing power to come in this room right now and seal the work you've done this morning, Father. Your word says that your sheep know your voice. And so, Father, let it be sealed what you've said and what you've done here this morning. Let the healing come to our hearts, Father, as we release idols, Father. And as we push out our idols, as we push out that which separates us from your presence, I pray increase your presence even more in our lives, Father God. Heavenly Father, we just want, that's our inheritance, Father God, and I just ask you for it. I want to live in that. I want to live in your presence. I want to live in your power. I don't want the mundane. I don't want to make excuses anymore, Father God. I just want your presence. Hallelujah. So God, I ask you to seal the work you've done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we talked about it before, and I understand, and I want to say this, is that if you want to talk or pray more about any of that, then please come forward afterwards and we can we can talk. If there's something you need to talk through or you need to confess, you feel like you need to confess to a person, get it out there and pull it out from the darkness into the light, and so shame and guilt can't have you anymore, then we're available to do that. But church, this has been a somber morning, and it's because we've been talking about something that separates us from the presence of God and deals with the heart. But the exciting thing is that we get to serve a God who's not mad with us, who's pleased with us, who's waiting for us to get in gear and so we can go. That's something to celebrate, amen? That's something really to get excited about and celebrate. We talked about it last week that everything in this world hinges on giving and receiving. You take breath, you have to give it back. Otherwise, you pass out. You eat 3 meals a day, you have to give it back or your kidneys shut down. Everything gives, everything takes. And it says in Matthew that if you give judgment, you will receive judgment. If you give condemnation, you will receive condemnation. If you give forgiveness, you will receive forgiveness. Given, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over in good measure. It doesn't mention money, it just mentions giving and receiving. If you give honor, you will receive honor. If you give submission, then you reap divine authority. If you give, you receive. And it says that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so what we try and do sometimes is we try to get our heart there first before we go, okay, now I can give to that. If I care about it enough, I'll give about it. But the Bible says it's wrong, it's the other way around. Move your treasure there and you'll start caring about it. Put your treasure there and your heart will move there. And so, as you know, we've got a miracle offering this today for our 60 community services. And as we just heard, I'm not going to read the statistics out again because that does a better job. But I-60 goes into the world in a way that we as a church can't. It brings the gospel to the ground and moves it out. It touches more people with the love of God. It extends the kingdom of God in people's lives very effectively. And it's run mostly by men and women who are missionaries who've taken up the call to their local assignment. So many families are blessed. So many families are touched by God through what I-60 does. You couldn't have a more tangible way to give to the kingdom than this. And so, church, this is what I want to do. I want to remind you of Malachi 3 that says, bring the whole tithe into my house so there's food in my house and see, test me in this, declares the Lord. Test me in this, says the Lord, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you so many blessings that you won't have room to pour it all. Now, like we said last week, if I had every dollar on the planet, if I had every yen, every pound, every euro, every rand on the planet, I would be able to store that because it already exists. But what I couldn't store is if he poured out his blessing and his presence on me by opening the floodgates of heaven. And so today, this is what we're going to do. I hope you've prayed and I hope you've come prepared to sow into what God is doing in the world. I hope you've come prepared to take a step of faith to sow into what God is doing in the world, because as we give, we receive. And so when you give into what God is doing in the world, you can expect to receive what He is doing in your life. Amen? Amen? That excites me. I don't know about you. That excites me. So when I give, I'm not going to give $100 and expect $1,000 back. You know, maybe I'll give and I'll say, God, I want you to take away that residual shame for the way I was as a teenager that keeps me held back. Maybe I'll give and I'll say, God, can you pour out your blessings on me and my family? Make me a better dad. Maybe I'll give and I'll say, God, I want to see a harvest of souls. I want to see you use me powerfully in the world. I want to see people come into the kingdom of God. And his word says, test me in this. So I believe you're allowed to ask him. I'm sowing into your kingdom, Father God. I'm sowing into the work that you're doing. And so, Father God, please would you bless me. Please would you bless my wife. Please would you bless my workplace. Please would you bless my boss who needs to know you desperately. Father God, I'm sowing into the work that you're doing in the world. Can you bless my boss, my wife, my neighbor? Amen. So this is what I wanted to do. Can I ask the worship team to come back up, please? Because I feel like the best response to what we're about to do here is to praise God. Okay? So can you get up on your feet, please? I know it's been heavy. You know, some of us have had heart surgery this morning. Who believes here today, this is the altar call, who believes here today that God is moving in the earth? Put your hand up real high so I can see it. You believe that God is moving in the earth, okay. Who believes that you are a part of that move of God in the earth? Yeah? Okay. I'd like to go over 100% there because that's the truth. Who here believes that in your life and in your circumstances, God is going to use you to bring his presence? Get those hands up. Okay, because you should be excited about that, because that means that he's going to equip you, he's going to train you. Whatever it is that's holding you back from doing that, he's going to invade your life and fix. Amen. If it's finances, it's the problem for you that's holding you back. If you can't do it because you're covered in debt, then I'm praying today that God invades your finances, invades your heart, and changes the way you think about it so that you have godliness with contentment, and that's great gain. And it shuffles the deck. It shifts everything the way you think about it. And he starts to make it so that you can do things the way you're supposed to do them. If it's your health that's holding you back, then God, I believe, is going to come and he's going to minister to your health. He's going to pour out your blessings. These are his promises. Amen.